Hey, this is Bradley Weber, and I'm super pumped that you're joining us today. If you're a part of our Release City family, whether in person or online, we would love to connect with you on our social media platforms at Release City Church or on our website at releasecitychurch.org. There, you can stay connected with what's happening within the ministry, as well as giving options and opportunities to connect with other Release City family around the world. Now, I hope today's message encourages you and inspires you to run your race and become all that God is calling you to be. Now, let's jump into today's message. Hey, before we jump in this morning, let me just tell you, y'all can, there's some of that excitement right there. There's some of that excitement. Now tell your neighbor, say, it's time to listen. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Before we jump into the word, let me welcome our online community, our online family, those that are watching at home or listening at podcast at a later date, wherever you are, whenever you're listening. I believe that God has a specific word he wants to speak to you today through his word. If you believe that, somebody say, I receive it. Come on, do you believe that God has a word for you today? Say, I receive it. Those of you listening online today on Facebook Live, put that in the chat. Just say, I receive it. Come on and bring it. I receive it. Come on and bring it. How many brought your Bible this morning? Let me see. Wave it at me. Y'all know what the old preacher back in the day used to say? That should be like your American Express card. Don't leave home without it. If you got a glowing Bible, let me see that. Just all the hands in the air. Wave them like you know you care. I'm kidding. That was corny. Anyway, in this series, sometimes I try way too hard. In this series, Toxicity, we in part one, we talked about toxic transfusions and the importance of setting boundaries and listening to the voice of God, the importance of listening to the voice of God. And in part two, we talked about, which was last week, we talked about toxic choices and the choices that you and I make today frame up our tomorrow. If you get into tomorrow and you don't like what's happening, you need to reverse back and look at today. You want to frame up a good tomorrow, start at the beginning of the week in church, and all the families in the house said, there's something about when we kick off our week being together, being in the house, lifting up the name of Jesus, magnifying the name of Jesus more than we magnify Facebook newsfeed. Magnifying the name of Jesus. Well, y'all know what you do when you put them on a magnifying glass? It shows up big. You see more details. When we actually magnify the name of Jesus, we see the details, and what everybody else in society is looking at becomes smaller and more bleak. I'm going to need the two of y'all to help me preach this thing today, because I feel like we need it. So today I want to talk about toxic people. And so before we dive into it, let's just go back to the book of Proverbs 25:26. Those of you that had your Bible, glowing Bibles, whatever you got, I want to read this. This is kind of our flagship or our foundational scripture for this series, and it's Proverbs 25:26. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, and it says this: when a lover of God gives in, everybody say gives in. Maybe you want to underline that in your Bible. When a lover of God gives in and compromises with wickedness, it can be compared to contaminating a stream with sewage or polluting a fountain. Everybody say when. That's an indicator that it's going to happen, because it did not say if a lover of God or if a born-again Christian or if that person that goes to church on Sunday. It said when. When a lover of God, that's you and I, gives in and compromises with wickedness. The biggest takeaway from this verse that we must identify what happens is that when we compromise, what happens when we compromise and what happens when we flirt with wickedness. Y'all know what a flirt is? I know some of us are of age where we don't flirt anymore. Some of y'all need to be flirting with your spouse. I'm just saying, I'm trying to help somebody out. I be flirting with mine all the time. If I see her roll up in town and I come up beside her, I'll roll my window down and be like, roll it down. You going to my house? It's called flirting. But sometimes we can flirt with sin. How does it happen? How does it happen when we give in and we compromise? Everybody say compromise. How does that happen? The verse points it out plain and simple that toxicity and wickedness, they creep in and we give in. How does it happen? Because wickedness can have a greater influence. It's a fresh stream. That's what the Bible relates to you and I. We're clean. Everything's good. We get saved. We come in here. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing that on Sunday. Father, forgive me my sins. We go out on Monday and we flirt with wickedness. Or we come into contact with a toxic person or a toxic situation or what I like to call toxic trash. It can be the most purest stream, but if I take a jar of toxins and I actually pour them into that stream, even though the stream is wide, that whole entire stream becomes toxic because of just a little bit of toxicity. The same thing happens to you and I. Here's what he said. You are the most, that's what I told you last week, that you are the most toxic person that you know. I made that statement last week, and some of y'all are like, yep, I know it, I am. And some of y'all looked at me like, mm-mm, preacher, you are not talking about me. Exactly. We are toxic. And it's easy. It's easy to say, yeah, I know some toxic people, but it's unfamiliar for us to look in the mirror and see within ourselves that we have become toxic. The truth is, you are the most toxic person that you know. Because sometimes you're righteous and sometimes you're wicked. Sometimes I got it all together and sometimes Pastor B he'd be jacked up. So glad Amy's serving back there today, because I would have had a loud shout of amen right there from the front row. Basically, what I'm trying to say is this. Don't underestimate your ability to lie to yourself. Example, anybody ever been on a diet before? These are my confessions. I'm sorry. Anyway, go on a diet. They say that the most vulnerable time in a diet and the time you're most likely to give up is 7 days in, 14 days in, or 21 days in. Why? Because these are natural stopping points. If you can get past the first seven, that a boy. You get to 21, you start saying things like, y'all that were here last week, y'all remember, you start saying things like, man, I just wish I had a chocolate cupcake. Can I just share something with y'all? Pause that right there. So last week after I confessed that I gave up those cupcakes and those chocolate the ding-dongs and Tootsie, whatever them things were, and then I actually gave up my two favorite red velvet cupcakes. Not just a baby cupcake. It was like cup and a half, right? I went home Sunday, took a nap, and I woke up to a knock at our door, and it was Michelle and Jose who had came back in from Daytona, and they had a prize for Pastor B. You know what it was? It was toxic, I'm telling you, and it was so good, I cannot lie. It was the largest. They were like, we watched your message on Facebook. They're like, but it kept going in and out. I was like, it must have went in on that part where I gave it away. They heard the part that it was my favorite. They brought me back all the way from Daytona from a bakery over there, a red velvet cupcake, and it was bigger than the two that I gave away. So anyway, what happens is it quickly goes from I want to I feel like I need some of them chocolate cupcakes. Anybody ever been there? You try to. It's called justification. I don't want it. I feel like I need it. I've given it up for 7 days. Y'all know, right? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. And then it goes from a want to a need to, well, bless God, I deserve it. I mean, I've done so good for 7 days. I mean, it kind of sounded like this in my head last Sunday afternoon. I mean, I gave up all of those things. I got them out of my house, God. I did that. And it was just a blessing from the church members that they just brought me. Yeah, that's how that justification went. I was doing so good, but I flirted with a cupcake. Listen, never underestimate your ability to deceive yourself. Because for most of us, it's more than just a cupcake. Here's the flip side. Sometimes you're toxic, but sometimes you come into contact with somebody else who is. So today we're going to talk about how to deal with toxic people. You guys ready to go? Here we go. What happens when somebody who's toxic enters your life? The Bible is clear on this subject, so let's dive right in. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It says this in the NIV. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And the church said, oh me. Yeah. What's the writer saying here? He said, if, everybody say if. He said, if it's possible, meaning what? It may not be possible to live at peace with everyone. You're going to come into contact with impossible people. There's going to be people at your work that just rub you the wrong way. There's going to be people on your job that are difficult and they're not easy to do business with. And unfortunately, you're going to also encounter difficult people in the church. I came up this week and they sent up some maintenance people to do some work in the hallways, replacing some lights. And so I was here and the guy was a super really nice guy, and I could tell that he was a Christian and went to church because I said, hey, thanks so much for coming up this week. He goes, well, I wanted to come up before the weekend because I know how important church is. At least it is to me. Now, he doesn't know that I'm the pastor. He ain't trying to win no brownie points. He's just letting me know where he stood. How many of you are willing to let people around you know where you stand? He didn't owe me any explanation. Because I don't ever know who they're sending up here. Because sometimes they righteous and sometimes they toxic. We'll remove that from the podcast because I don't want our landlords to hear that. But it's true. Sometimes they send, you know, cool people and sometimes not so cool. But I was thankful. And so as he was wrapping up and he was taking his stuff out, he said, so just tell me what are some. And I gave him some of the, you know, I gave him some of the history of the church and how it started as a Bible study many, many years ago in a home. And he said, hey, I'm just curious. Share with me some of the challenges. I was like, bro, you got, how much time you got? He's like, share with me some of the challenges. He said, because I'm a part of a home Bible study group right now that has started, and these are some of the things that we shared. And I just told him, I said, I'm going to be honest. I said, there is no perfect church. I said, because as long as church is filled with people, because how many know the church isn't this building? You are the church. I said, as long as the church is made up of people, the church is going to be messy. So if you're looking for the perfect church, you'll never find one unless it's an empty church. Because people are messy, therefore the church gets messy sometimes. But the Bible says, if it is possible to live at peace with all people. Some of you guys, when I said you'll come into contact with people, immediately that person popped in your head. Who was it? Somebody? Anybody? You thought of a toxic person? How many had a list of five that just rolled through your head? Yeah, sometimes you're going to come into contact with toxic people. And unfortunately, you're going to encounter difficult people in your life. We were on vacation a couple weeks ago, and first day one, we like to, you know, do breakfast there in the condo, and then we'll eat sandwiches during the day, and we'll go out for supper at night. And one of the first places that we went to on night one was called Corkscrew Bar and Grill. And we had found this place, this treasure, this amazing place, last year. And so It was Amy and Ansley and I and Connor and his mom. And so I went ahead, and it was kind of stormy weather, so I dropped them off at the door and I said, hey, go ahead and get our name in. And I went and parked the car. So when I walked up, they said 45 minutes. I was like, hey, that's no big deal. You expect that when you go to the beach, right? So we're standing there and we're standing around for the first, you know, 20, 25 minutes. And finally somebody from this table behind us was like a waiting table. They moved, so we slid into it, you know, and I'm getting antsy. I mean, it's hot, it's muggy, it's raining. We're under the thing on the outside, and this guy walks by me. Matter of fact, he had to be the most important man in the world because he walked in with his loafers and his nice pleated shorts and his creased shirt that his wife probably pressed for him so they could go out to dinner. And he walks by me, and this is what I hear him say. We're not going to have to wait like the rest of them. We made reservations. Well, first of all, I know that's a lie because we called trying to make reservations and they don't make reservations. So I knew this brother was in for a rude awakening. And there was something jumped off on me. He was carrying toxicity, and something jumped off on me. So I'm sitting, and I'm watching this joker. He goes up to the counter, whatever conversation he had, and then he makes his way, and he stands at the door like he's the guard of the restaurant. Like, ain't nobody going in because we have reservations. Anyway. I was salty. Spicy, too. Anyway, so he's standing at the door, and I'm watching this joker, and Amy's looking at me, and I got this sour look on my face, because when you look at sour, you get sour, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, and she goes, what's wrong with you? I'm like, this dude, man, this dude. And about that time, Amy's buzzer went off on her. She got the text, your table's now ready. And so we get up to walk through, and he's looking at, he had already looked at other people going in, you know, like, we got reservations. Oh, and his crew, this was what was even, this, I forgot about this. And the people that were with him, they were even telling everybody around them, we don't have to wait, we got reservations. So what he had, they also had. They're telling everybody they got reservations. Bless God, didn't get in there and find a table, is what I wanted to say, but they didn't. I don't know if the people at the counter didn't have the heart to tell him. I don't know what was going on or who he is, special person. He was special. And so we get up to go in, and all four of them go by. And right as I get ready to walk through the door, he cuts me off. Now, the problem with that is there's two people that live in here. The person you know is Pastor B. The other person he was getting ready to meet is B from the hood. Because, matter of fact, y'all seen that t-shirt that says, what's it say? I wrote it down because I wanted to make sure I get it right. It keeps coming up in my news feed. It says, half hood, half holy. And then at the bottom it says, that means pray with me, don't play with me. I needed that shirt that day. He almost met. And so I just gave him that nudge with my shoulder. I did. I repented. But I was like, excuse me. And I kept on going. And we got to sit just inside the door. And I got to keep watching homie still standing there waiting on his reservation. He waited for about 35 more minutes before he came in. Amy asked me again, what is wrong with you? Because I eyed him as he went across. And I was like, how'd them reservations work out for you? Okay. What happened? I didn't just tell that because it was funny. Because it wasn't funny to me. I was hot. I was spicy. Didn't need to add nothing else to my steak because I had it fuming off of me. What happened in that moment? When you get around toxic people, toxicity will come out of you because it's within inside of you. It's called your flesh. If you missed last week, go back and listen to the podcast. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your soul is the vehicle. Your spirit should be the driver, but unfortunately, your flesh is always in the vehicle until you leave planet Earth, and your flesh is always fighting. I wanted to be able to just say, hey, bro, if I call you brother, that means we cool. If I say bro, that's hood B. So be careful how long you associate with toxic people. Oh, let me read it, the Romans 12:18. It may be up on the screen as well. Yeah, this is the NLT version. Do all you can, everybody say all. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. It starts with you. Come on, somebody say, it starts with me. You're going to come in contact with impossible people. You're going to come in contact with toxic people at Corkscrew Bar and Grill. You're going to come in contact with frustrating people. So what do? With frustrating, toxic people, we set boundaries. We talked about this in part one. But this is the first point for today. Boundaries begin with me. Boundaries begin with me. If there's going to be peace in that relationship, it starts with you. If there's going to be peace in your marriage and in your home, it starts with you, not your spouse. Yeah, but he's supposed to be the head. Plant a seed. Now, what am I saying? If I'm frustrated with you, I need to look at me first. Married couple, start thinking. Now, if he frustrates you, if she frustrates you, look at you first. It's easy to play the blame game. Married people, where you at? When you lose your keys at home, what do? You blame If you got some of them little ones running around, you blame them. If you got six kids, you got six times to put the blame on somebody else. Amy will say, well, where's the last place you had them? Bless God, if I knew that, I'd have my keys. Where's the last place I had them? I don't know, but I'm that hood husband be coming out too. Y'all don't tell her a word that I discuss in here today. It needs to be peaceful at my house because peace starts with me, right? Okay, we just have an honest moment. But it's in our nature to blame someone else rather than take responsibility for our attitude and our actions. It's easy to blame them. Well, they got an attitude. Yeah, but where'd yours come from? He had an attitude. He felt entitled. So did I, because I waited. But my attitude wasn't right. It became toxic because I didn't have a conversation with him. I didn't know him. I wasn't around him. All I did was watch him, and I became toxic. So sometimes it's not that you just roll up in a group with somebody. Sometimes it can just be you watching somebody on Facebook, watching somebody on their social media, and you can become toxic. Watching someone else's Pinterest newsfeed. Well, they just got that upgrade to their house. How come I don't get that upgrade? Now you became ungrateful for what you have, because what you do have, remember, you prayed for it at one point. That's toxic. Toxic. The truth is, we're going to go around blaming others for our lack of discipline. Let me just stop right here and say this. I don't know who you are in Christ and the purpose that he has for you, but you're less likely to consider or be concerned with boundaries if you don't know your purpose. Think about it. If I know that I'm carrying something, I'm going to protect it. If I'm carrying something of value, I'm going to protect it. And how do I do that? I set boundaries. Some people just don't even care what they carry. They just live in life. You know them. Proverbs 29:18 says this. You know it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let me read it in the NIV. Where there is no revelation, where there is no hot news flash, you've been called and set apart for a purpose. When you don't know that, the Bible says that people who don't have a revelation cast off restraint. How many of you know somebody that's living life with no restraints? They're just que sera, sera, let it be however it's going to be. Let me just live how I want to because it makes me feel good. That's toxic living. They got their life's a hot mess, if we're just going to be honest. What am I saying? Not everything is good for you if it doesn't help develop you and point you in the direction that God has for your life. Over the years, I've been asked questions. Pastor B, I shared some of this with you. Pastor B, can I do this? Pastor B, can I do that? Is that a sin? Is this a sin? How far is too far? Pushing the boundaries. Listen. Let me just, plain and simple. The Bible gives us 10 commandments, not 6,000. 10. That's it. Now, there are some churches that would cause you to believe that there's 6,000. Let me tell you something. That's called witchcraft. Because when it gets to the point where I'm manipulating you because of what I want you to do and the picture that I want you to paint for our community, that's called witchcraft. Because you don't have a relationship with Christ. You got a relationship with me, and then you become trying to serve me instead of God. Dangerous, toxic, 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 toxic. 1 Corinthians 10:23-24 says this. In light of that, well, Pastor, can we do this? Can we do that? And then people, well, I can live however I want to because it's grace. Let's talk about it. You say under grace, this is Paul, you say under grace, there are no rules and we're free to do anything we please. Not exactly, he said, because not everything promotes growth in, what's that word? Oh, I thought I could live as long as it helped me grow. That's called self-centeredness and arrogance. It said, because not everything promotes growth in others, and your slogan or saying is, we're allowed to do anything we choose. That may be true, but not everything causes spiritual advancement, the spiritual advancement of others. So don't always seek what is best for you at the expense of another. It may be okay for you. Those cupcakes and ding-dongs were fine for Truett and the Wilson family, but they was not good for me because there's a place that I'm trying to get to. physically. You may say, yeah, but doing this isn't going to hurt me, but will it hurt someone else? I know. This one of those messages. So to answer your question, should I or shouldn't I? It just depends on how selfish you are. Let's go back. Let's go back 1 Corinthians 6:12. This is what Paul said. It's true that our freedom allows us to do anything, but that doesn't mean that everything we do is good for us. I'm free to do as I choose, but I choose to never be enslaved to anything. Yeah, but grace is going to cover it, Pastor. But is that something you should really be doing? It might not be sin, but is it a seed? Think about it this way. You drive down the road and you get ready to go over an overpass. What do you see? Guardrails. Yes? Guardrails are to keep us from going over the overpass. But the thing that you'll notice about guardrails is it's not just at the point of where the danger is. It starts a little way back. Why? To let you know that the area you're getting ready to come up on is dangerous. What am I saying? You need to put boundaries not over the spot where it's dangerous, but you need to go ahead and set a boundary so that you know as you get close to that person or you get close to watching that or close to being a part of that conversation, that's dangerous and it's toxic. It's called setting boundaries before you get there. It's real hard to set a boundary when you're about to fall off the cliff. Huh? Where's my honest people? Boundaries have to be set before you reach the dangerous spot, and it's true in our own lives. We got to set boundaries ahead of time. Listen, how do I set a boundary? Getting into this book. This book is full of boundaries that are there to protect you, not to harm you. Well, here's one I get all the time. Well, preacher, can we drink or not drink? Ephesians 5:18 says this. Don't be drunk with wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit. I feel like we just lost 10 people on Facebook Live because they're like, I ain't tuning into this today because this preacher went from preaching to meddling. Preacher, can we drink or not drink? Drink or no drink? It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then there's a dichotomy in 1 Timothy 5:23, and it says, don't be drunk with wine. But then Paul tells Timothy, a little wine is good for the stomach. Okay, Pastor, I know that's real good, but can we drink? Listen, then there's this whole theological argument about, you know, preacher, that Jesus turned that water into wine. Y'all heard that one? Yeah. Then there's this theological debate of, was it fermented or unfermented? Was he trying to get everybody drunk or not drunk? I don't know. It doesn't say. I don't feel like he was trying to get everybody drunk. But you're asking the wrong question. The question isn't, is it a sin? The question is it a seed? And is it good for you? And is it good for someone else to see you? This is how I look at it, and I'm going to move off of it because this has nothing to do with drinking. What's past to be think? There is nowhere in this book that says it is going to send you to hell. It's not in there. It's not in there. This is not be watering down anything. It's not there. It says don't get drunk. But I'm going to say this. If you seeing me out in public causes me to be less effective at doing what my purpose is, I'm not that selfish. If you see me and it causes you to look at me different, that's just how B does it, okay? That's T. I know that wasn't convincing, but that's T, I promise. It just went down the wrong way. Listen, there's too many Christians trying to make God an option and to see it only if he fits into their lifestyle at the moment. Hello. The problem for many of us is we don't want to crack this book. We just want to hear someone's interpretation of it and then decide if we agree with it or not. Get into this book for yourself. It's a high responsibility to make sure. Because I know I stepped out on a limb to say, it doesn't say that you're going to go to hell. I understand that. But I at the same time, you know what your boundaries should be. You know if alcoholism is actually a spirit that's been attacking your family for years. You play with that spirit if you want to, especially if it's been in your house. What's good for me may not be good for you. And what's good for you, bless God, may not be good for me. I know my background. I know the history in my family. I know that people who have struggled with certain areas. And guess what? I set a boundary. Let me get to the point. And it's this. In dealing with toxic people, toxic relationships, here it is. I must manage my relationships. I must manage. Say it. I must manage. It's not the church's responsibility. I must manage. It's not their responsibility to make sure they don't take you far too far because they know you're a Christian. No. Well, they know I'm a Christian, and they ask me, so it should be. You manage your relationships. You got to ask yourself. What are my assets? My friends, what are my assets? What are my liabilities? Are they liability to the purpose and the calling that I have? Who's irrigating me? Who's helping me to grow? Who's irrigating me and who's irritating me? Get around the right people. Who are the people that are making deposits into your life? That's why we're trying to cultivate. And that's what I told that gentleman. I said, I'm not trying to build a big church. Because I shared with him, I said, you know, you can let the people back at the office know that we in here for a short time. We're trying to get somewhere. This is not our home. I said, don't get me wrong. I said, sir, I'm not trying to build a big church, but I am trying to build strong, healthy people. It just so happens that people want to be healthy and strong. So let them come. That's what we're called to do. So you ask yourself, who are the people that are making deposits in your life? I think about Dad. Dad was notorious. If he was in a room with you, he would try to work the room, so to speak. He would love to connect with you, get to know what's your thoughts, what's your goals, your dreams, your plans. And then he would then deposit in you. If nothing else, he'd tell you, I believe in you. There's some strength in that. So when you leave a room, do people miss it when you're gone? Are they going, whew, glad they left. And don't be that Christian. I just need everybody to come deposit in my bank account. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about into your life. There's a lot of Christians like that. They're called what I call consumer Christians. They just come and sit. This for me. Is that Christian you say, anything I can help you with? Bless God, they had their list for like a month waiting on you to ask. Be someone who deposits positivity and structure and excellence in the lives of other people. Sometimes Dad's deposits were a little spurring. They weren't always, I believe in you. It was stuff like, hey, Bradley, you had your devotions today? It wasn't that he was trying to be the pastor to his son. It was he's trying, because he knew what this word would do for me. Joshua, have you had your devotions? He'd say it to Josh all the time. And I remember what that was like. So I'm like, glad it's somebody else and not me. I moved out the house. Josh figured it out too and moved in with Brittany. It was a conversation I heard in the house today. Well, there's only two other people other than the two dogs, and they ain't talking. So I heard one of them say, do I have to go to church today? And the other voice from the bedroom said, I was thinking the same thing. And Daddy, as he loaded the dishwasher, said, Papa D would say, as long as you under this roof, we going to church. I closed the whatever that thing is, dishwasher, and I walked out the door. That's like mic drop. Second point, I must manage my relationships. That was the first one. I must label people. Now this one's going to be tricky because Pastor B did a series on don't box, drop the box, right? Don't box people in. But the Bible, this is biblical, by the way. I got to label people. I got to label them. Are they a giver or a taker? Are they a giver or a taker? Jesus even labeled us. You remember the parable of the sower and the seed? He dropped seed on all the ground, but he did say that some of the ground was thorny, Some of the ground was stony, and some of it was good ground. But what happened? He cultivated the good ground. Problem is, too many people are out there trying to cultivate rocks, trying to cultivate a good relationship with a toxic person. I know this was, I told Jesus this was not going to be a popular message today, but it's one that will help set you free. Too many Christians out there pouring everything they got into takers. Don't cast your pearl before the swine. Okay, I'll keep moving. 2 Timothy 4:19 says this, do your best to come. This is what Paul was telling Timothy. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. That's a label. He's a deserter. He deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. I'm going to jack these words up and slaughter them so y'all work with me. But Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. So go get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful. Another label, helpful. One person's a deserter and another one is a helpful. He's helpful to my ministry or my purpose. He said, I sent, hard word, can't say it, to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander, the metal worker, he did me a great deal of harm. These are all people that used to be in a circle who were one time healthy, now they're toxic. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him. Wow, that is so scriptural. I say, we have those conversations. We have these hard conversations in our leadership group. People who come into the ministry aren't always coming in with the right motives. I'll just be honest. So, there's no fruit. There's a label that's put on them. And then I let the leadership team know, this is somebody we need to watch out for. Because I, as the head, I will not allow the enemy to come in and distract you and to pull and sift you out of God's plan for your life. Just not on my watch, not going to happen. So he's saying, this guy deserted me. This guy is an enemy. Enemy to what? Enemy to my purpose. That's what you need to say. Is this group of people, are they an enemy to what God is calling? They may not be completely bad and they're there's nothing wrong with good people, right, Pastor? No, but just being good may be toxic to the call that's on your life. The Bible says to love your enemies. Pop quiz. How do you know who your enemy is? You label them. I can love you, but I got to put you on the long distance plan. I love you from over there. Even Jesus set boundaries. Jesus was encouraging, but he was also direct. Y'all remember the story when Jesus was telling his disciples? Oh, excuse me. Jesus asked Peter, he said, who do you say that I am? Now, who does everyone say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're a good teacher. Some say you're a preacher. And Jesus said, no, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so now I'm going to call you the rock. And on this rock of what? Rock of revelation knowledge that he had, that Jesus was not just a mere man. Can you imagine how big Peter's, he expanded? Huh? Oh, I'm the rock. Look what the rock is cooking. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Okay. But then not just a short time after that, this is the person that Jesus said, you're the rock. And now Jesus is with his disciples and he's saying, he's showing them what his purpose is going to be in life and I've got to lay down my life. And Peter said, no, that doesn't have to happen. And what Jesus say, get thee behind me. Now, he wasn't calling Peter Satan. He was identifying the spirit that and the realm that Peter was operating and the authority that he was operating in. So you can have some Christians that in a moment are at the height of where they're supposed to be, but in just a moment, because of a doubtful thought, they become toxic. Okay, I'll calm down. It's when you got to say, you know what, I love you, but you're not right for where I'm going. I can love you, I can pray for you, but I ain't got to hang out with you all the time. And that's not a conversation you tell them. You tell yourself. You set the boundaries. Amen? In closing. What gave Jesus the power to set boundaries? Let me read it to you. It's the same power that you have to set boundaries. And here they are. Luke 5:16 in the NIV says this, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus, the Son of the living God, still needed prayer. Even after he fed the 5,000, the miracle of feeding the 5,000, he sent the disciples, he sent the boys on over, put them in a boat and sent them across. Where'd Jesus go? He didn't go with them. He went to the mountain to pray. Over and over and over throughout Scripture, when Jesus began his ministry, you did not see this. Miracle, 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 prayer. Miracle, miracle, prayer. Mm-mm. What was it? It was prayer, miracle. Prayer, miracle. Prayer, miracle. So how does that translate for us? Okay. Sunday, prayer in church. Make that your first. Monday, prayer. Hang out with crazy people. Come back home, pray. Tuesday, wake up, pray. What's next? Go hang out with crazy people. And then pray. It's the same as true. If you're going to be able to set boundaries, if you're going to identify and find the strength to set a boundary, we got to be like Jesus. It wasn't just miracle, 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 prayer. Mm-mm. It was prayer, miracle, prayer Monday, prayer Tuesday, prayer Wednesday, prayer Thursday, prayer Friday, prayer Saturday, Sunday, repeat. We're believing for God to do big things. There are some things that will not happen except through prayer and fasting. The challenge for many of us in this room is we're not praying enough and we're not fasting enough. And I'm not talking about a diet plan. Before Jesus' ministry even started, he prayed for 40 days. Fasted and prayed for 40 days. The problem for many of us is we're pouring out and we're never filling up. I need some help. Christian, Jonathan, Connor, Michael. Y'all come up here real quick. Connor and Christian, y'all stand over there. Jonathan, you beside me. And big man, Mike, you stand right here facing out. So when Jonathan comes to church, you don't get one, you the muscle. And we can see why. bring the heat. So when Jonathan and when we come to church, we get filled up. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Can you do that? Now, go give a little bit of that to Christian. This is how his day starts. He's driving a truck. He sees somebody. He gives him a little word of encouragement, just a little bit, because you got to have some for yourself. And Connor gets a little bit. And then you come back to church. On his way to church, though, he prayed. He comes back. It gets a little bit more. Now, between the two of them, give them everything you got. Now, before you come back, come here. Now, try to get back to church. Don't let him. See, there's, keep it, just keep that same stance. Just keep that same stance. Arms out and you stand there. There's still plenty more at the church. He was trying to do the right thing, but all he did was kept pointing to their life. They weren't pouring back to him. And before too long, he became empty. And then there became a distraction. Something else stood in his way, and he couldn't get back. That's happening in more churches and more cities than you can imagine. But the beautiful thing about Jesus is this. Remember, I have more power than you, Mr. Wall, so you just stand there. The thing about Jesus is this. He will often step outside of the 99 to fill up the one. Just let it pour. And what happens is, when he got overflowed, it got all over his shoes, and this man with hands uplifted high just got saved, because the same power that was in here started to get and spill out all over him. What's the point? The point is, make sure that you're staying in constant connection and stop pouring out to other people. And make sure you stay filled up. Jesus. And through his worship, he continues to get filled back up. Through his worship, he continues to get filled back up. If you're here today and you want to be filled up, get to the front of this church. We're done. If you want to be filled up to overflowing, get to the front of this church. I don't care how you have to get here. I don't know about you, but I'd be running. Get to the front of this church. The presence of the Lord is in this house. Hold your hands out. Cup them together.
If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media, or head over to our website at releasecitychurch.org and click on the giving link and help us to continue to share the message of Jesus and his hope with the world. God bless you. Have an awesome week.